code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on. Bridge the distance between you and me. There's a list of grievances, 100 miles long. There's a cold of silence, and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on December the 21st, 2007. Newcomers, I always ask to look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com and download as much information as you want from previous talks, where I go into a lot of the histories of the various groups and foundations and power structures that combine to create your present and your future. They also gave you your past and your parents' past too. They create the reality which we adopt when we're born, and most folk never question from then on. They can be confused at times and try to rationalize things out, but they don't have the information to put them on the right path to consciousness. And also look into Alan Watt Sentient Sentinel.eu for transcripts which you can download in the various tongues of Europe. Tonight, after going to town during the day, it was absolutely crazy. I'm sure everybody's seen it. Everybody's going zonkers with their crazy shopping. As they're all tense and they're all in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry, and their faces are so set, and their teeth are gritting in this festive holiday season. And they're preparing, of course, for their big relaxation on Christmas, where they get sozzled for a night to take the tension away from all this merriment making. So I just got back a little while ago and just sat down here and thought about the topics to mention tonight. There's so many topics when we see how we're being bombarded left, right and center, up and down with the green, 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 and it's all being promoted by the big corporations. This falls in line with Professor Carol Quigley's statement that the new feudal overlords will be the CEOs of the international corporations, and that's where it's coming from, as they work hand in glove with the governments, who often are run by ex-CEOs of the same companies. This was always called fascism up until the present time. Now they've simply bent democracy, as democracy was meant to be bent. It's been bent many times. We've never had a fixed definition of democracy. Interestingly enough, in Sudbury, the town is quite near me. It's a mining town. They voted in a council there about a year ago or so, and a man wrote in the newspapers complaining that they hadn't fulfilled one single promise that they'd promised during election when they were running. And he got a statement back, I mean, all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they said the only thing a government, even local government, has to do is get elected. Once, and the only duty a citizen had to do was to elect them. Once they were elected, the citizen basically had no rights whatsoever as to what the guys that you elected did. That's your definition of democracy, for the present anyway. They probably bend it further into even fewer rights in the near future. That's how it's going. Well, I'll be back with more on this after the following messages.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure, Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Hi, folks. Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix and just talking about democracy. This term that the ancient Greeks mentioned and Plato and others mentioned it, and how at least a form of initial communism is communistic rule over the masses, but always a fascist elite, and how it ends up with dictatorship eventually. And it's like a cycle, it never changes. But it's also a technique. If you understand how these things work, you can make them happen in the same sequence, because human nature has never changed. We only change according to how our cultures are altered for us to follow. You grow culture, you can alter it. It's plastic. It's what's right today could be wrong tomorrow, and vice versa. And even the laws will be reversed at the appropriate times to suit a new type of economic system that happens to. Because all laws ultimately revolve around the economic system in which you live. Economics is always at the top. The big echo, goes round and round, comes back and forth. And isn't it interesting, as I say, when I was in town, every shop you go into asks if you have their own particular card where you get discounts if you have their card and they get all your data on you, and it's all fed into central computer banks, which the governments share. There's a big one up here, it's called Air Miles. You have an Air Miles card, and they use this in everywhere. Even the Liquor Licensing Bureau up here in Canada uses it. So the government gets all this data on people, and it's used in the grocery stores too. we're being studied like laboratory rats, because for total information networking, you must have complete information on every single individual who exists. And you don't really get discounts with having the cards. What it really is for is to give you the real price. Those who don't have the card are actually getting penalized for using cash. That's the whole idea behind it. Beautiful psychology, and most folk never question it. They think they're getting discounts, but no, they're getting the real price. But talking about that too, I was thinking, how did they stick labels in supermarkets on certain items so that you can go out the door without them going beep, 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 and giving you an embarrassing moment. And one day, you won't get into these stores without having these cards on you, and eventually it'll be the chip. That's obvious. We know we're going to get the chip. That's on the cards. The big boys are training us first to use cards, then to use active ID chips in the cards, and I mean active, not the passive ones that read by a short-range scanner. And then there'll be a spate of robberies and so on, and big stories in newspapers and terrible stories about poor unfortunates who have been robbed and their ID stolen. And the solution will be to put one inside you and to implant it within you. That's how they train us step by step into compliance. And eventually, you won't get into a store one day if you don't have one. That's on the cards. There's no doubt about it. What they do is they don't force you and mandate things like this. They simply make it impossible for you to exist within their system without it. It's done by coercion. It was the same a long time ago with driving licensing, because that used to be voluntary at one time. So was car insurance voluntary at one time. And once they go above a certain percentage of people who fall for the bait of voluntarism, and it was also a status thing at one time, then they say, well, now that so many are on this, we'll make it mandatory, and then the rates go sky high. Old tricks, but they're used over and over. And it'll be the same with the cards, and it'll be the same with the chip eventually. You'll be coerced into either living within their system or starving to death outside their system, because they won't allow you to live in the forest. In the British Commonwealth countries, the forest lands mainly belong to the crown, meaning royalty. That's what it means, crown land. In the U.S., they just call it federal land. And in the U.S., too, you'll find that even the forest rangers now have been turned into a militarized organization with weaponry and so on, and powers, the same as the military. And talking about chipping and how it's coming in and how it's mandated, there's no doubt there's a tremendous push in all media towards this fantastic technology to make us all want it, and how safe we'll be, and all the rest of it. And all of this can be found in old biblical books, religious books, and in even older mythologies to do with a time that would come when you couldn't buy or sell. And that poses a problem to people today, because we've been brought up in a scientific society pushing humanism, secular humanism, where everything has to be logical and myths dispelled, and what they call the superstition of religion destroyed, but it's been replaced by a scientific religion. That's what we have today, is a scientific religion that keeps changing its theories all the time, and we don't seem to notice at the bottom. So there's a quandary there, because you have a choice between how could people in ancient times predict this coming time? And it leads you to two choices. Either it was a supernatural occurrence to see something in the future, or number two, it was a long-term plan. It's not so far-fetched as being a long-term plan, because you see, in ancient times, slavery was the norm for most people. Slavery was an accepted way of even being born into. In fact, you thought it was quite natural. And even emperors of Rome, when they had uprisings by slaves like Spartacus. When he commented on it, when he heard about it, he said, "What is this revolt? What is it?" And they said, "Well, sir, it's the gladiators and the slaves. They want to be free." And he said, "Free? Oh, what an odd idea." And it was to these characters, you see, this class. Slavery had always been the norm, as it had been in the Grecian Empire before it, and in the Egyptian Empire. 75% sometimes 70%, or 75%, or 79% almost, at the end in Greece, were actually slaves. And many, you could actually work your way through slavery if you were cunning and psychopathic, and have little businesses on the side, and save money up and buy your freedom. And many of the best slave owners and the ones who captured peoples and made them slaves had been ex-slaves themselves. And the whole cult of Mithraism came out of people who had gone up through the ranks in this way, because slaves also were pressed into the army, and some of the biggest armies were comprised of 90% of slaves. Now, the slaves also had a little thing they'd often carry around their neck, and it was part of a circle made of pottery in a leather thong, and he'd have half of it been shattered and broken, and his slave master would have the other half, so it fitted together like a jigsaw puzzle. And if he went outside the limits of the area he was allowed to roam in or shop in for his master, he'd be captured. And that's how they'd find the master who owned this particular slave, matching the two pieces together. So they're already using forms of identification back in ancient times. Sometimes they'd even burn it on their forehead, the mark of who your slave owner was. So isn't it interesting? Either human nature's never changed, and the masters will always want to brand their cattle, their herd. And because they're run by psychopathic types, the psychopath, his nature or her nature will never change. They'll always go into the same direction and use whatever comes along today as technology. And for more on this, people should look into Mark Bard's parallelnormal.com website, because he's got an article there about Christian end timers leave their mark on the RFID industry. And then he has a little note to people not to plagiarize his stuff, but it's okay for me because I take it from him. I mention who he is. Other people just take his stuff and use the material, sometimes verbatim, but never even mention his name. I get the same done with me all the time. They say that plagiarism is the best form of flattery, and it may be, but it doesn't pay your bills. He says here, Christian end timers opposed to RFID have informed numerous interconnected groups whose leaders testify before legislators in the U.S. and Europe. They've written books, some citing my own reporting, that's Mark's reporting, for major U.S. publishers. They've done thousands of TV and radio interviews and protested at major retailers in the U.S., U.K., and Germany. Now the RFID industry seems ready to admit the Christians are costing them money. The production levels and profits predicted by the RFID industry and computer trade rags 5 years ago have not materialized. This has not stopped anyone from continuing to make baseless estimates for the future, by the way. But rather than discussing production costs or bad forecasting, RFID industry leaders are blaming the bad information being spread about the technology's capabilities by Christian end timers, even when they do not mention the Christians explicitly. RFID journal editor Mark Roberti last year cited my Wired News profile of Christian endtimer and RFID opponent Catherine Albrecht in a warning to RFID companies. Be wary of religious opposition to RFID. So they have written about it up in their big trade magazines. I said Roberti erroneously credits CNET with the story, but it didn't come from them. Albrecht has told me she believes RFID, particularly the implantable verichip, may be a precursor of the mark of the beast predicted in the book of Revelation. Now, I'll continue with this article from parallelnormal.com after the following messages.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Hey folks, I'm Alan Watt, back with Cutting Through the Matrix, and reading today's article, it's the 21st of December, from paranormal.com, and Mark Bard is writing here. He continues, RFID Journal editor Mark Roberti last year cited my Wired News profile of Christian Endtimer and RFID opponent Catherine Albrecht, and a warning to RFID companies, be wary of religious opposition to RFID. So they are talking about it, and they'll have an all-out war against the Christians who are left. There's different categories of Christianity today, and many of them have already been looking to their television evangelists to tell them if the chip's okay, and some have already said it is. But Mark goes on to say, more recently I received a call from AIM, that's AIM Global RFID President Dan Mullen, who worries that consumers will think the VeriChip implant is the same thing as the radio tags that will replace barcode labels on store goods. AIM Global is a major RFID industry group. So they are calling reporters now and trying to, I guess, maybe sway them. Says Mullen, there's a lot of misinformation out there about what these tags can do. Mullen did not mention Christians in her telephone interview, but AIM Global last month launched an initiative to dispel myths, it's a myth, and speculation about how RFID will affect people in the future. And you can click there to listen to my coverage, as me, Alan Watt, of the AIM Global campaign. The mainstream media meanwhile is making matters worse for the industry by repeatedly masking the RFID opponents' Christian end-time beliefs and motivations. They don't want to bring it up, in other words. It's bad publicity for their own industry. This year's very cheap cancer link story, you recall, was first reported by the Associated Press and featured Albrecht as its primary source. And that's true, that hit them too, the fact that the implants that were even put in animals and dogs were now causing cancers. And the owners of Fluffy don't like that, because eventually when they get it, it'll be the same. Eventually they'll tell us it's good for us, it's a good cancer, a different kind of cancer. The AP piece might have given the misleading impression Albrecht is a physician by referring to her as Dr. Catherine Albrecht in its first attribution, although she is not a doctor of medicine. The AP's own style book discourages this practice because Albrecht holds a doctorate in education. And it goes on to tell you more about the RFID. You can, lots of links in there too. You can check on to other stories connected with this. And that's what's being pushed out. So the big companies, they're all working hand in glove with governments, because governments also have mandated this kind of tagging for everyone, beginning with your passports and then now your coming mandatory carried. You carry it mandatorily, this card that they're dishing out next year in North America. They already have dished it out in some European countries, and they have to have it on them at all times. And once we all have it, as I say, there'll be a spate of tremendous robberies all over the world, and the media will go into their hyper gear, as they're told to do, and terrify the bejesus out of us until they come up with a solution, which would be an implantable implant, and we'll all breathe a sigh of relief, especially if it's on the big programs and some of the big superstar talk show hosts on television who are pretty well worshipped by millions of people that tell you it's a good thing. And that's the way it is. I can guarantee you it's already... This is a script. It's a script, and it's not hard to understand the script. It gets kind of boring if you've been studying this your whole life long and you know what's coming next in all the different areas of society. Now we'll go on to Mike Blackford, a caller from Vancouver, I think Washington.
Hello, Alan?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm surviving.
I'm glad to hear that. We've communicated before a few times.
Yes.
You made a remark the other night about the Celtic gene within yourself.
Yes.
Pursuing goals that will never come about. Well, I got to tell you, you are about making an effect on people. I can hear it. I've been with you 4 or 5 years now, and I can hear it in the callers and the people I talk to at work. Of course, there's some of them you can't get to there. TV programming has been so thorough, but you are making an effect. Hold in there, guy.
I know it's working, because I know some higher-level bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., and some of their parties, that they're actually discussing the material and mentioning my name, and I thought, what?
Yeah.
I never expected that to happen.
Well, it's your message is important, but I think your power is in the messenger, and the way you... I think it's the poet in you that gets it across. It's really kind of common knowledge. Mm-hmm. A person studies or has lived, you know, some years. But I wanted to ask you about this music thing. I never have been a music person. I always felt like it was I was supposed to feel something, and I've never cared for me. I like music, you know, and you are from the other side of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about solfeggio frequencies, or these holy tones that the church tried to get rid of back in the 11th, 1200s. Is there anything to that? You speak of the scientific aspect of music and tonal frequencies.
Yeah.
Is there something to that?
Oh, yeah. It's well known that you can actually put people in alpha states by using certain tones and rhythm, and even the pauses, and the way the music's written, they go into a hypnotic state, which is relaxing. But you can also use it then to hypnotize them and condition them. Hold on, and we'll go into more of this after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Nice little time I'll unwatch backwards, cutting through the matrix. And I talked to Mike Blackford, Vancouver and Washington. And we're talking about the types of music that can put you into a particular frame of mind. And the alpha frame of mind is the goal for those who induce hypnosis. You can also do it naturally when you're young. I used to watch my sister, her jaw would drop open. She'd be staring into nothing. And she was putting herself in a natural hypnotic state. Children come in and out of it all the time. And it certainly is a relaxing thing to do if you can retain that down through your life. But music can also help induce it. And when you're very young, you're more receptive to the very high frequencies and low frequencies. And they have an impact in the formulation of your... the way you perceive and think when you listen to them. And you can certainly put yourself in that particular state. But the monks used to use it for a form of meditation, which they would attribute to a kind of communication with their God. And some of the monks went to incredible lengths to even hyperventilate by singing very, very quick songs and very short pauses for intakes of breath. And it gave them shallow breathing. And you can actually bring in an epileptic seizure by doing this if you're prone to it, to epilepsy. But they would get a high, a buzz, being lightheaded, in other words. And that's when they would have their little holy experiences. So So breathing and music, verbal music or vocal music has been used down through the ages to alter moods, but also alters the mood of the listeners. And there's no doubt there's a lot of beautiful old music out there. And you can also get this from a lot of the classical music, which can put you into the same kind of state of relaxation, which is quite pleasant as long as you're not being programmed. Science understands that they can also use that if by putting words in and so on and certain little agendas, and they can program you as well. Plato wanted musicians to be licensed because of the power that they held over the youth.
Amazing.
Yeah.
One other question, Al, if I may. In your mind, can you think of a time in history when this elite was beat at their own game? Have we, the slaves, always been at the losing end of this deal?
I think there was a time before when money came in, or what was... You understand, the money could have been made to be anything. But what they did was to grab something that not everyone could get their hands on. So they went for gold, first of all. And the Phoenicians used to pay for wars to be started. They'd pay other nations to start wars once they had the money introduced. And money at one time was weighed out before they coined it around 800 BC. And they said the gold is wealth. And that was the first big lie, but they had to get everyone to believe in that. And once that was done, and they could then hire armies. And they used to get this as part of their deal with countries. They would get all the conquered peoples, make them slaves, turn them into miners, and set them to work in mines. And the Phoenicians even had mines all the way into the Urals, you know, the Ural Mountains.
Wow.
As far away as that. And they used to estimate the cost of about half an ounce of gold per head per slave. That's, and the death cost it would cost to get that half ounce of gold. And that was quite acceptable in those days because they always had a plentiful supply of conquered peoples to go into the mines for them. So it's always been coupled with money. Money and it creates a leisure class, a ruling class, and the psychopathic types live, they thrive in a moneyed system. They get to the top and dominate and enslave the rest. So before money came along with trade and military, and that's the key to it, because you have a mercenary who is a soldier, and you have merchants. It comes from the same root word, and the Mercury, the messenger, was the patron saint of merchants and mercenaries, because they went hand in glove into other countries. One of them forced the other countries to their knees, enslaved them, introduced the money, and then the merchants profited from it, and then the merchants also supplied the new governmental system and upper elite class that would then rule them.
Alan, can I interrupt you here?
Yeah.
I'm going to lose my signal pretty soon. I'm driving a truck with a cell phone, so I want to tell you, keep up the good work, and all the folks listening out there, this guy knows what he's talking about. My offer to help you cut wood still stands.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Take care.
Now we've got Ryan in New York. Are you there, Ryan? Hello, Ryan? Ryan in New York? No, she's not there. Not there. Is Lisa from Toronto there?
Hello?
Oh, Ryan, okay. Go ahead.
Hey, you had a blurb about tunnel vision, I think, back in the summer. And it had me thinking about the American dream and what a stupid, limiting way to just create tunnel vision on something you love to do and then just do it all day. Mm-hmm. And the only way to succeed is to not expose psychopathy in any way. Mm-hmm. And no one even notices that mom's lovable hedonism is slipping away from them with the entertainment industry on strike here and there and fewer planes. We have to shop at DJs and Costco's, which is pretty much programming for Soviet grain lines, pretty much.
Yeah, it's true. People are set into tunnels from a very early age, and that you often you adopt the same tunnel as your parent. And it never occurs to you there's parallel tunnels all around you, just through those walls, and only those above them all can see all of them, and that those are the psychopathic groups that control them all. And even when you get to an end of a tunnel and you're looking for truth, I always warn people that you'll see a field and sun striking that field. Sunlight will be all over it, and a forest on the other side, and you want to run to those trees, but you've got to get through a minefield then of disinformation and people who will give you some truth and warp you off into weird directions to put you back in a loop. So getting to the truth has to be a determined effort not to swallow the bizarre and the fantastic that those who rule the world finance very well into being to mislay you off in the wrong directions and bring you back into other kinds of loops. But you're quite right, yeah.
I guess there's a troglodyte connection to tunnel vision.
Yeah, in a sense it is. There's a great old legends about the troglodytes, and the troglodytes really just means cave dweller or tunnel dweller. And you'll find them in some of the Grecian and Roman writings. They hired the people. They were a tribe, and they were scattered too across the ancient Middle East. And they would hire them as scouts when they wanted to bring armies to go off and invade someone else. And they had odd customs. They would bury every member, any member who reached the age of 40, up to their neck in sand, and then stone them to death. So there's no one over 40 years of age in their particular tribe. And even in the ancient legends, including the Hebrew legends, the supposed tribe of Manasseh, if they ever existed, were given the land to the north, and it was mountainous, and they interbred with they called them a different name, the Hurrites, but they were the cave dwellers or troglodytes of the north there, and they interbred with them. And after a period of time, this Manasseh tribe became red-haired and blue-eyed because the troglodytes were supposedly almost albino. So there's lots of old scattered bits of information on these particular peoples, and you find them again in Sumer because the gods never came down in spacecraft and stuff at all. They simply dwelt in caves up in mountains, and people used to eventually go up and put offerings in the caves for these particular people who became a priesthood, because they looked down and observed the people. There's even older legends to see where that started from, that they were people who were outcasts. They used to kill them at one time if they were pedophiles and so on. And eventually they stopped killing them and let them live inside caves and fed them. And over time, as they added to their numbers and generations, they had time to study the people down below, watch their habits, watch the seasons, study the stars and so on, and they came down as the priests eventually and then dominated the normal people below them. And that comes even from Armenia, those particular legends. So there's a lot of legends on them as to the origins of all ancient priesthoods that had knowledge, and who knows how far back that really does go.
Would that be the wild thing that the Trogs are singing about?
Yeah,
that's the
wild thing, yeah.
As the wild man as opposed to the gentleman?
Yeah, and again, even some of the older Freemasonic books talked about a possible beginnings. Remember, everything's a possible beginning, meaning no one knows.
Mm.
But they talked about tree dwellers and the tree dwellers were hunters. They'd come down the trees, kill mammoths or elephants, and when they were coming down the trees afterwards to get their kill, these mountain or troglodyte ones would come in. They were very vicious, and they would drive off the tree people, and they could actually drink the blood even of their kill and live on that. And then that gave the legend to the old vampire stories. Even China has them, these old stories. It's a fascinating thing, but it's a stuff for novelists and for the New Ager or those who lead the New Age movement to grab a hold of and spin it off into all kinds of... Because when imagination comes into it, then imagination is a limit. There's no limit at all.
Yeah. And David Icke is very well trained. Like, he even had me going for a while.
There's a lot of people going in loops there. And what you'll find, and this was even mentioned in one of the men who first came out about the Illuminati in Weishaupt. He was a Mason from Britain who joined the Illuminati. His name was John Robson. And he exposed in his own book the Illuminati's project and where they planned to go. But he did mention in there that they put out false gurus for the public to follow, to get working, people who work for them unquestioningly, true believers. And Robson said that these gurus always end up telling the people that all they need is love, because they can't go any further with it, and then lead them on holy pilgrimages to sacred places and mountains and stuff, because they can't take it eventually any further, you see. So they always end up with in the same kind of place.
Kind of like Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Phil. Anyone who thinks that one man can solve the problems of the world in an hour, I mean, he should truly be up there on a big throne. But this is a technique that the TV industry was using and really came out with Phil Donahue and others afterwards. And they have about 20 or 25, sometimes 30 producers, if you look at the end of that show. And they have masses of research teams that go into the complete histories of all these people. And in 1 hour, they can convince you of anything in 1 hour. You don't realize that there's not a sentence, not a word said in that whole hour that wasn't scripted. And every part of the next part, and the next part, and the next part, till they get to the end of that hour, is a kind of predictive programming to make the audience think that this is a Superman that's leading you here. But it's not. This is an expertly, psychologically driven show. And I saw Phil Donahue once, who opened the show with a it was great TV, of course, as you see in the industry. And he had four women sitting on stools, and the usual audience. Now, everyone in the audience is selected, and their backgrounds are known for their opinions, their religious bents, and so on.
Yeah,
that's all done, too. And he introduced these women, and there's a quietness there. Then he says, these are all madams of prostitutes, houses of prostitution. And there was there was no claps or anything. There was a hush. Well, within an hour, he'd gone through their personalities, he had them all chatting, and all the women in the audience were chatting to these women on the stages and relating to them. And after the end of the hour, he had them applauding these madams, because they'd now been switched 180 degrees round with their whole opinions, and they were performing a service in the community. That's fantastic psychology, and that's how you lead them through the Delphi technique into what your goal was in the first place. Tremendous power in television.
The half-hour revolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the same thing with Dr. Phil and all the rest of them.
Yeah.
A tremendous power. And but just look at the end of these shows and see how many people it took to produce that 1 hour. And it gives you a clue. Okay?
Okay.
So thanks for calling.
Yeah, take it easy.
Yeah. And I've got Lisa from Toronto. Are you there, Lisa?
Ma'am, thank you for taking my call, Alan.
It's a pleasure.
I want to ask you, first of all, you were saying about the mark of the beast, the Christians and whatnot. You always talk about these people, they're the ones who, you know, created all religions and whatnot. What is your take on why would they put in the mark of the beast, you know, throw that in there and then have to come, you know, have it be such an obstacle, or is it an obstacle? What do you figure that's about? Secondly, what's your point of view on lucid dreaming? And I want to ask you about your DVD. Do you go more into words and whatnot? And, go ahead.
Well,
just like a million and one things to ask you.
Religion has always been used as a tool. In fact, it means to retie or rebind. That's religio. That's what it means. You're bound to something. And you're bound to a way of thinking according to the belief you've been taught.
Right.
And so when people come along and give you predictions, the most predictions in ancient times, and this was understood, were written after the events, maybe 100, 200 years afterwards. It was quite easy to write a story and say so-and-so predicted this 200 years ago. Because there was no one to check out, and there's no way you could find out if it was true, if they really had written that 200 years ago. So it was an old scam in ancient times, and in many countries, but mainly, again, in Middle Eastern and even the East, the Far East, that did this sort of thing. And you couldn't verify it, but it was so easy to believe and say, my goodness, this ancient prophet said this and so on. However, it's also a form of predictive programming, because if God says it's going to be, then it's going to be. And so you kind of feel, well, what can you do? It's God's will. And so it gets the whole idea in your mind that it's God's will. But as I say, there's another way to look at it, too. Is it a prediction? Remember, it's called a revelation. That's not a prophecy. To reveal something, you only reveal a plan. And so in ancient times, when they talked about the God of nature, when they could conquer the God of nature, that meant the sciences that ran nature and through mathematics and everything else. That's how it was always couched up until about the 1800s in Freemasonic circles. The quest to understand nature was all the sciences. They knew, even back then, they could come to a time when they could, in fact, break down nature and then recreate it or alter it for their own use. Hang on, and I'll talk to you about more of this after these messages.
Okay.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Hi, folks. Alan Watt back. The last few minutes of Cutting Through the Matrix.
Oh,
and we've got Lisa from Toronto still on the line. You have a second question there?
Yes, I do. Actually, what's your take on lucid dreaming and dreams, briefly? And I take it what you're saying about the previous question is eventually Christians will just throw their hands up in the air and say, well, you know what, it's God's plan anyways. It's predicted and whatnot.
Many will. There's no doubt many will.
Okay,
they accept everything. Most Christians, remember, are cultural Christians. They're born into it. They don't go in because of some earth-shattering experience. But there are those who even stop attending churches and who are probably more Christian than the ones who attend and who really believe. And that's their right to believe it. The problem with any group is when they try and force everyone else to believe their belief. And rather than put it down to faith, faith is something different. Belief is unverifiable. That's why it's called faith. So you can't push it on someone else by force or even create a political structure and force everyone else under it into the same system. So, but there are those who really believe and who will not take what's coming. But I do know that there were big Christian groups. Remember, the biggest Christian groups belong to the World Council of Churches. That's all your mainline big ones. And that was set up by the Rockefeller Foundation, with David Rockefeller being the first chairman for many years. I think now he's assistant or deputy. And the idea was to standardize the religions and move them along certain ways of thinking, to change the religions and to get them accept this. Remember, he's also in charge of the World Citizenship Awards program for high-flying big players in politics. So it's been drastically altered. Even the WCC, the World Council of Churches, if you speak it, it's WISA or WISE or WICA. They don't do this by mistake. They love these little jokes. But once you join it, they start to standardize them all with the same topic, same thought, same agenda. And so the standardization is the thing with the mainstream churches. Look at the book 200 Famous Americans, and you'll find that the founders of all the big churches in America were all at least 32 degree Freemasons, including the founder of Luther, the Lutheran Church in Americas. So they've been used down through the centuries by the societies.
Okay, thank you. And how about the lucid dreaming? Or maybe sometime you might do a talk on dreams. I don't know if you find it's really unnecessary or what. What's your take on, or do you have a take on lucid dreaming?
Oh, yeah. It'd be a long conversation, though. I did some 10 years ago on some shows, and I'll try and dig them up maybe and go over them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That would be lovely. Thank you. And I've ordered your books, and I've got a little something extra because I think, you know, you've given us invaluable information. You've shared with us, and it's only fair that we, you know, repay you, all of your listeners, in whatever little way that we can. And so be of good cheer and have a good night and a wonderful weekend. Thanks a million, okay?
Thanks for calling, Lisa,
okay.
Because you gave me a plug and I forgot to plug myself. That keeps me going.
You deserve it big time, more than that, okay?
Thanks very much.
So for now.
But from Hamish and myself in a snowy Ontario, Canada, it's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you. With recent